Hey!
Hey!
What's up, y'all?
Ladies and gentlemen, please!
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you as ever by the AMP Radio Network. I am coming to you live and direct from the AMP Studios International. That's right, Brantford, Ontario, ladies and gentlemen. Coming at you to do Smack My Picks Up for hashtag UFC 240, also known as Holloway versus Edgar, which will be held July 27th, 2019, at the Rogers Place in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. That's right. Probably the best market for the UFC worldwide. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. But as ever, I'm joined by the usual cast of characters for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. As we do always, we start ladies first. Let's go ahead and bring her in. The life of the party, DJ Tony, the first lady of AMP Radio, Pam from North Carolina. All right.
Hey. Hey. You know what? I think we just skipped last week because I totally sucked on my pick. Suck. Like, suck.
Yeah, well, you know what, man? What can you do? I mean, sometimes you guys suck and, I just have to win.
See, my picks shouldn't even really count because I didn't get to watch the fights. I had a performance on Saturday, and I didn't get to see any of it.
I don't know if your picks shouldn't count then.
I am.
I don't know.
Unless I won.
It sounds like
which
guesswork.
I did not.
It sounds like guesswork. I tell you what.
Hi, guys.
All right, guys.
Hope everyone had a great week.
Pammy, we've seen you in lots of places. We've seen you with Megalodons.
Was that not the coolest?
It seemed to be the coolest. Yeah, man, I was super into that.
Did you see me with the alligator head?
Yeah, I just saw that today as well. I mean, you Pam is very popular on the Twitterverse, ladies and gentlemen, and on the Instagram. So let's go ahead and move on to the first, or the big boss man himself, the original B-boy. That's right, I said it. It's Tony time, bitches.
Hey!
Hey!
What's up, y'all?
What is up?
Hey! ¿Qué pasó? Hey, baby, ¿qué pasó? Have you ever heard that song?
No, I don't think so.
I thought it was your only vato.
No, I've never heard that.
Oh, it's Tex-Mex. It's Tex-Mex.
Marco, do you know that song? Let's go ahead and bring in the man from deep in the heart of Texas. That's right. Deep in the heart of Texas. It's Marco from Waco, brother.
Wait a second. I can't find his intro. Wait a second.
Oh, wait a second.
I just do all y'all's music.
Yeah, I know. You're on it, Pam. You're on it.
Hang on. I'm trying to find Marco's music. It's disappeared. Just give me a sec.
The star of the show's music has disappeared. Awesome. Thanks.
You know what? I was talking to Proteus about this. You know, when everything works, just leave it alone. You know what this guy does?
Yeah.
Wants a new keyboard, wants a new. Oh my gosh. All right. Hang on. Marco, ready? Do it again. 3, 2, 1. Go for it, Proteus.
Deep from the heart of Texas.
It's Marco from Waco, Yeehaw. Brother.
Marco from Waco. My vision sucks, but I click on them. Oh, God, I'm so bad.
Sorry, Marco, I had...
What's up?
What is up? Marco, what's happening with you down there? I hear you're having a bit of a heat wave.
Not anymore.
What happened to the heat wave?
Yeah, the heat wave went down a little bit. It was 102 two days ago, and I was like about 91, so 10 degrees left, 11 degrees
Ooh,
left.
Get a sweater.
It's cold. Yeah. You guys. Hey, you know what? Let's stop the shenanigans. Let's talk some freaking MMA.
You got it. DJ Tony, go ahead and cue that music.
Un sweater.
To the featherweight division we go. Champion Max Les Holloway going up against former lightweight champion and, you know, all over kind of Hall of Famer, Frankie the Old Man Edgar. So shout out to our boys. You know who I'm talking about. All right, so Frankie the Answer coming at us at number four in division against Max Bless Holloway. Let me give you guys the breakdown of their records. Max Holloway, 23-0 against Frankie Edgar, 22-6-1. Both, of course, fighting as the United States, even though they're halfway across the world from each other. Max Holloway, 5'11", and Frankie Edgar, 5'6". All right, so Marco, before I go ahead and give you the odds, let's just talk about quickly that Frankie Edgar is kind of the stud of the previous generation of fighter, but he's going up against a really tough guy in Max Holloway. What do you got here, brother? Do you got a little bit of trouble coming off of that loss for Holloway, or do you got Edgar coming out through this one and just running through Max Holloway? What you got, brother?
Before we start, I want to ask you to please give the fans the odds, because they're very telling.
Yes, sir. I do apologize. I did promise you the odds and then not give you the odds. Frankie Edgar at a plus 310.
Wow.
And Max Holloway coming back at us at a minus 370. Marco, what you got?
Okay, the odds are very telling, but I think that a little bit unfair to Frankie Edgar. I think they're taking into account his age. He's 37, but, I mean, Frankie has only lost to the best in the division, you know, Jose Aldo, Brian Ortega, Alfredo Way, and a lightweight Benson Henderson, Gray Maynard, and that's about it. He only loses to the best, dude. And
I think
it's going to be the same here. Anybody that is not a champion is going to be Geek Frankie around for his money. He's the underdog, and this is an unspoken narrative that Frankie is always the underdog. That is a false narrative, because in most of his fights, he has been the favorite, and he has won, because deservedly so, he's the favorite. In some of the fights that he's been the underdog, he has pulled through, you know. I'm not going to sell Frankie short. He has a chance to win, but usually it is a guy that are on the level right below, you know. I mean, yeah, he beat Uriah Faber, but Uriah Faber is basically a bantamweight, and I don't know why on God's earth has Frankie not gone to bantamweight, because I think he could have become the champion a long time ago as a bantamweight, not just because he's too stubborn to freaking realize that as a bantamweight he would have dominated. But it is what it is. I still gonna pick Max Holloway. I think Max is in his prime. I don't take too much stock on the loss against Dustin Poirier. You know, I mean, that's what it is. I have beaten twice, once a featherweight a long time ago, and then a lightweight, where the bigger fighter was by far Poirier. I mean, it was visibly obvious that Poirier was the bigger, bulkier fighter and the one that hit the hardest. But, Frank is not known for his punching power, you know. He's a volume striker. He got cardio for this, so that makes this fight interesting. However, we've seen Holloway get stronger and stronger as the fight goes along. Frank is really hard to knock out. I mean, the only people that we saw him knock him out was Brian Ortega with the elbow from hell and then that uppercut. I don't think Max is going to knock Frankie out, but I think the output in the third, fourth, and fifth round is going to be so overwhelming that he's going to win by points. Frankie's going to make it interesting in the first two rounds, just because Calloway tends to start slow and start building up from that. So I'm going to give Max Calloway a unanimous 48-47 decision and still the UFC featherweight champ.
Pammy, Marco makes a lot of great points there, right? I mean,
he does.
We've seen Holloway. So Marco makes a lot of good points. You know, Frankie maybe should be fighting at a smaller weight, but Tammy, we've seen Frankie, as Marco also alluded to, win as being the smaller guy. So let's throw it to you. What do you got here, Holloway versus Edgar in the main event?
Well, first of all,
UFC 240.
How can anyone not love Frankie Edgar? You know, he's just a fighter's fighter. So how can you not love him?
I don't know that we didn't say we didn't love him.
Well, I'm just saying, how can you not?
All right.
And again, Max, how can you not love Max Holloway? I love Max Holloway. Anyway, you know what Marco was saying about that Frankie Edgar only loses to the best of the best. And he did have that. He does have those losses to Aldo and Ortega. And keep in mind that Ortega was the first one to ever knock him out, if I'm not mistaken. So keeping that in mind, take into consideration that Max Holloway also has TKO wins over Aldo and Ortega, and you know, two of the best. Given that, I'm taking Max Holloway. I think he's just too much right now. Both of these guys cardio for days and weeks and months. I mean, cardio. I am picking Max Holloway with the fourth round TKO. KO, TKO.
Okay. No, you get credit for TKO or KO when you say that. Moving forward, no worries. I will give you the benefit of the doubt for both. All right, DJ Tony, let's throw to you. You heard, you know, a good case for Holloway from Marco and from Pam. What do you got to say here in the main event of UFC 240, brother?
No one is going to sell Frankie Edgar short.
Oh, my God. Well, he has no shortcomings if I really think about
it. The joke bombed the first time. You don't have to repeat it again. What is this? Is it Chima back with the bombs?
You guys are right. You're right. My bad.
I will say this, though. Keep going.
I think everybody loves Frankie Edgar. And Marco's right. I mean, Frankie Edgar should have probably gone to bantamweight, and I kid you not, or flyweight when it was around, or is it around, whatever. The problem is, guys, that this is not the same Frankie Edgar.
Is this a short
notice
fight?
Very good. Oh, man.
I missed it.
I said, is this a short notice fight?
Oh, good times. Go ahead.
Okay, we're lame.
That was fantastic. Damn, that was good.
All right.
It is Rex Domundo. All right, guys. The bottom line is this. He's fighting a guy that's in his prime that's probably 25, 26. I don't know what Max Holloway is, but Max Holloway is still young.
27.
So 10-year difference. Am I right, Marco?
You are correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you are correct, Domundo.
I was going to say that Frankie doesn't lose to smaller fighters, but there isn't anyone smaller than Frankie in that division. Nothing? All right, I'll give myself crickets. I might edit that one out. Pam's the only one that got a rim shot on that.
In the place, man.
Son of a gun, you're right. You know what? I'm going to get out of here with this. Max Holloway, guys. Third round, TKO, Max Holloway.
All right. I mean, like, so you got to give Tony credit for giving the jokes, right? Come on.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Christ against humanity with all the bombing, dude. Christ against humanity.
I love that one, Marco. That was great. That was great. Okay, so Tony, let's recap because all of the jokes were going. You got Holloway third round TKO.
Holloway,
yes,
third round, TKO, if not second, but I'm going third.
All right, thank you. We're going with third. So I've gone back and forth, guys, with this one because as both of you, all three of you have said, really, you know, we tend to count Frankie out in the times when he comes to shine. And I have gone back and forth on this one, guys. I have flip-flopped a bit, but my concern basically it draws from the last time that Max Holloway had to go through a bunch of weight cuts that were different. You know, he was fighting at 145, and then he was supposed to fight Khabib, and then the, you know, New York Athletic Commission put the ixnay on that hombre. I'm worried about the fluctuation in the weight cut, guys. And we know that Max is a big guy, and you know, if things were right, if we didn't have to weight cut, Max would probably be a great champion at 55 pounds at lightweight. But we know that Frankie Edgar has already been a champion against giant guys who are bigger than him. I think the weight cut is going to affect Max Holloway. I always seem to be wrong when it comes to Max Holloway, and also with Pam's favorite fighter, the Boogeyman. You know what I'm talking about. And but I'm going to take Frankie Edgar here, guys. I'm going to take Frankie to shock the world, just because, you know what? To be frankly honest with you, boom boom.
Oh my gosh.
Boom boom.
Oh my gosh.
No. Okay, I'm going to take Edgar. I think this is going to be, you know, a war like most of Max Holloway's fights are. And you know what, guys? Thank you. You know what, guys? I thought about the fact that Frankie is going to attack Max in a very obvious way. I don't know that that's going to happen this time. So, guys, I'm going to go with Frankie Edgar. I'm going to go with him late. I'm going to go also with the fourth round with Pammy. And I'm going to go by TKO. Because these guys got, like you said, Pammy, these guys got Energizer batteries for days.
Right.
No sponsorship there at all. I apologize.
I'm going to give you a good piece of trivia, because Luke Thomas was talking about it today. If Frankie Edgar does win the title on Saturday, he will be the one fighter with the biggest gap in between champions in the history of the UFC. The
absolutely.
One, right? Yeah, because it will be 7 years since he held the title.
Yeah.
Like 2012, to regain it in 2019. The guy that holds the record right now is Dominic Cruz, because it was a five-year gap between titles for him. And then behind him is George St. Pierre and Frank Mir with a four-year gap in between titles. So
yeah,
he holds the record for the longest gap, 7 years.
Again, I don't know who this Luke Thomas guy is, but let's move on, ladies and gentlemen.
Frankly, my dear,
again,
I don't give a damn. Let's move on.
Oh,
you like that
look
one?
At that. Look at that.
Okay.
Wrong with the win.
That's
just,
right.
Yeah, Pam with the win. Just to pile on this, I'm just going to say that this is a Team Proteus pick for me. Frankie Edgar is one of my guys. So let's just move along, as you said, Pammy. Go ahead and cue that music, DJ Tony. To the mythical women's featherweight division we go, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Cyborg going against a recent shadow figure. I don't know that I'm getting a little out of control with that one, but I think that that could be counted. No, Marco, I think credit for that one. All right, it was a bad joke. You're right, Chris Cyborg. Let's go ahead and get into this. No rankings for either lady on this one, on the UFC fight. On their website for the fight card, there's no actual... Anyways, I digress. Chris Cyborg, 22-0 with one no contest against Felicia the Phenom Spencer. See what I did there? 6-0-0. Of course, Chris Cyborg hailing from Pam's home country of Brazil, adopted, of course. And, of course, Felicia Spencer coming at us from the greatest country in the world. Leave it at that. Chris Cyborg, 5-8 against Felicia Spencer, 5-6. Pammy, we throw to you as we do all the time. Ladies first. Yes, Marco, I thank you very much for reminding me about the odds. Let's go ahead and do that now since you interrupted the show.
I'm down for some odds.
I was just joking. I was just joking. That was a joke. So Cyborg coming at us at a minus 580, and
jeez,
Felicia Spencer at a plus 440. So, Pammy, again, we throw straight to you. Of course, all of these odds are from five dimes. Do you see a grappler having great luck against Cyborg, since most grapplers who have fought Cyborg have not?
Well, this is what my little research led me to. Christiane Giustino and Felicia Spencer. Felicia is a black belt in jiu-jitsu, while Cyborg is only a brown belt. Not only, but, you know, she's a brown belt. Both of them kickboxers. Felicia Spencer, taekwondo. Christiane is Muay Thai. And the one addition that Christine has is she's a wrestler also. But, you know, with her wrestling and jiu-jitsu background, she has no submissions. All her wins are by KO, three decisions. And Felicia Spencer, one KO, four subs, and two decisions. So if you kind of look at it on paper, you know, what they specialize in, it looks, hey, man, this is going to be a cool fight. But then if you look at their win ratio, it's like, okay. You know what? I'm picking Christiane Giustino. I'm picking it with the second round TKO. I think she's going to use the first round to kind of feel her way out, and I think second round she gets it done.
All right. And nobody's surprised by that pick, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Pam's countryman, Chris Cyborg. Just a joke.
That's
just a joke.
Woman.
Amen.
Country woman.
Country woman. That's right, Marco. Thank you very much for saving me yet again. All right, DJ Tony, let's go to and throw it at you. Co-main event, I kind of alluded to it at the beginning or at the intro of this fight. Are we expecting this to be a W for Cyborg so she can get back on track?
I'll tell you what we're not expecting. We're not expecting Ice Cube to yell, bye, Felicia, right? That's not going to happen. But obviously the UFC wants Felicia Spencer to win. By the way, only born in Montreal, as we have found out. She actually spent most of her...
From the bombs of Tony.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear. What did Marco say? I didn't hear it.
I said the landscape is littered with bodies and body parts from all the bombs you got thrown today, Tony.
Oh, darn. Am I that bad? Son of a gun. All right. You know what? Now I'm afraid to speak, but I will say this. Unfortunately, it will be by Felicia, as Chris Cyborg will go, thank God, to Bellator for the non-mythical featherweight division. So Chris Cyborg.
Well, it's pretty mythical. It's pretty mythical over there, too, to be honest.
Is it? All right. Well, then they should just move up to whatever. I mean, you know. Anyway,
Jessica.
Chris Cyborg, second round TKO to a Felicia Spencer. That actually seems very, very nice.
She does. She's Canadian. Why wouldn't she be nice? Pam and
only
DJ
Canadian
Tony
on paper.
Okay. So you didn't get to give your rest of your point. Why don't you go ahead and give the rest of your point? Born in Montreal. Where'd she move to?
She's been in Orlando rather than Florida for most of her life. If
okay.
I get that correctly, military family.
Bob, we're going to right on. Yeah. So, I mean, she's going to be Canadian because she's military family anyways, right?
Oh, very good.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Ding, ding, ding. Let's go ahead and move on here. I'm going to go, with you guys as well, but I really don't think it gets out of the first round. I think we've seen Cyborg be Cyborg against grapplers. We've seen Cyborg be Cyborg against strikers quite recently against Holly Holm. I don't know what Felicia Spencer can throw at Chris Cyborg that she hasn't seen thus far, Marco, in her career. I'm going to I'm going to say that this one ends very quickly in the first round. I'm going to say by first round KO. Marco, let's throw to you. What you got going on here, brother, in the co-main event?
Just to shake it up, and because, you know, a lot of Chris Cyborg's record is a little bit blown up because most of her life she has been fighting blowing up bantamweights. You know, it's not her fault.
Sure.
Because there's not too many featherweights up there, you know, especially in the UFC. I mean, even the girl that beat her, Amanda Nunes, you know, the GOAT, she's truly a bantamweight. She's not a true featherweight.
She's not blown up. She's not a blown-up featherweight, though.
Yeah, but her natural weight class is bantamweight. She's not.
Okay, I'll give you that. Okay.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying Felicia Spencer got too much of a chance, but because I want to shake it up and because she is a true featherweight, and I was actually really impressed with what she did to Megan Anderson, to tell you the truth. Megan Anderson is
sure.
a six foot two lady,
yeah.
you know, and she is cool,
sure.
and she exposed Megan Anderson. Megan Anderson needs to work her ground game. So that tells me that
yeah.
she can actually manage a big body. I mean, Megan steps into the freaking cage heavier than freaking Cyborg. And that is just a reality. Just because of her frame. At 6 foot, she steps into that freaking octagon at 170, 175 pounds after she's rehydrated. I am going to chop the wood and I'm going to think Felicia Spencer is going to catch
right.
Cyborg in a freaking choke late on the second, because, I mean, whether we like to recognize or not, Felicia Spencer can actually strike. You know, she does got the background, and she got a kind of sort of a blueprint to follow what Amanda Nunes did. And I think she also is going to try to move like Holly Holm did, try to get her paws on Cyborg and try to out jiu-jitsu her. So I'm going to pick Felicia Spencer with choking the world with a second round submission. And, totally, this freaking mantle, the labor as a negotiation point for Chris Cyborg, and see what happens.
Absolutely.
I'm picking on a choker that I probably won't win. I admit this. I probably won't win this, but I'm trying to check it out. Felicia Spencer, my second round submission.
Can't do it.
Yeah, no, you can shake it up all you want, Marco. I appreciate that. No, there was something I thought about as well, Marco, just to talk real quickly about this subject real quickly. I thought about, you know, the fact that, you know, Cyborg coming off of that loss and, you know, she doesn't seem to want that fight again, Marco. And I don't know, maybe she is looking towards Bellator. I don't know, Marco, that if she loses, that she loses any points with Scott Coker and Bellator, though, Marco.
Okay.
I think that
is
her stock does
smart.
Not.
Is Cyborg is smart, and I think she's a little bit smart. She knows the biggest money fight up there is a rematch with Amanda Nunes. She won't make anywhere
right.
near the same amount of money anywhere else unless she got a rematch with Amanda Nunes. We're talking about millions of dollars compared to hundreds of thousands. You know, if she wants to be, you know, a main event and a cast that nobody will see in the sun. You go ahead and go to Bellator, and you won't make as much money as you will make in the rematch with Amanda Nunes. One fight can completely reshape the legacy of freaking Cyborg. Because
sure enough.
If she runs away from the fight, if she signs with Bellator, everybody and their mother is going to always tell her, you got knocked out by Amanda Nunes, and you run away from the fight. So the ballpark is actually Cyborg. She needs to win this fight, and I admit that, so she has to leverage to negotiate for more money. But even if she loses and then she runs away to freaking Bellator, she will never outlive the fact that she ran away from Amanda Nunes.
Well, if we believe what Dana White says, then as long as she's making her money, what the fuck does she give a shit about it, right?
Thank you, Dennis.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Let's go ahead and move on to everyone's favorite segment of the show, Spotlight for the Night, DJ Tony. All right, DJ Tony, we're going to start with you. It's your turn in the segments of the show. Why don't you go ahead and give us your Spotlight Fight of the Night, brother, for UFC 240. And remember, guys, this is on pay-per-view, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can only get the pay-per-view from ESPN+. Plus. Of course, the preliminary card coming at us on ESPN2. And the early prelim card, of course, on the 3rd platform, UFC Fight Pass. I digress. DJ Tony, what you got going on here? Spotlight fight of the night, brother.
I looked at the main card and I said, Proteus, get Careless Whisper ready. And he said, oh, you're right. It's not going to happen on the main card. Proteus, get cue the music for the prelims. Hell no, that's not going to happen there. So we have to go all the way to the mythical UFC Fight Pass cards that no one watches. That's going to be the same as the 600 people, except for Pam. That's going to be the same as the 600 people that are actually going to pay for this pay-per-view on ESPN+. Nothing? All right. So we go to the mythical UFC Fight Pass. We go, Proteus. Get the music ready because we will see Jillian Robertson, and she will fight. I don't know. Get the stick figure and face tattoo ready for Sarah Frota. No offense, I have no idea who she is. So Jillian Robertson will maybe win via decision over Sarah Frota.
Robertson over face tattoo. Got it. Sorry, I need method around again because I was too focused on face tattoo.
Maybe a decision. I actually think face tattoo wins. So, you know what? Face tattoo second round TKO.
You can't change it. I already have Robertson down. Robertson down. You have
to. You're right. Robertson down in a second. You're right.
All right. So we're going to go with Frota. Second round, what, TKO?
TKO, sure.
All right, that was a mess and a half. Wow. All right. All right, I'm going to go to my man. He's always Team Proteus. He's on the or also the early fight card, early prelim card that only Pammy and her husband are watching on UFC Fight Pass. Eric Koch is back in action. Ladies and gentlemen, that's right. I'm an Eric Koch fan. I'm going to take him probably by decision here, ladies and gentlemen. Very exciting.
Without kissing my cock.
Oh, wow. All right. Right on.
Okay.
You know, because really, I know, right? I'm not really sure who Guns Up is. I'm, of course, Kyle Stewart. So that's why I'm going with Koch. All right, DJ, wow. Marco,
stupid.
Let's throw to you. Yeah, stupid. Marco, let's throw to you. What's your spotlight fight of the night, brother?
I'm going to go to the fight, the main event of the prelims in ESPN. Alexis Davis at Riviera Araujo. Give me Alexis Davis, man. Former title contender. Okay. She's a veteran of the game. Not too much more Riviera Araujo. So give me Alexis Davis in a 29-28 unanimous decision.
All right. And you know, country favorite, you know, Alexis Davis. We all support Alexis Davis up here. And, of course, mother as well, right? Thank you, Rhonda. All right, Pammy, why don't you round this this segment up and tell us what is your spotlight fight of the night.
Do y'all even have to ask?
No,
Nico Price. Nico. I have him winning by decision. I think this is actually going to be a pretty good fight. Both of these guys have KO power. Nico has won 8 of his last 10. Jeff has won 9 of his last 10, 4 of them by first round. Nico, 6 of them by first round. Both of these guys, 9 KO, 3 subs, 1 decision for Nico, 6 KO, 2 sub, 3 decision by Jeff. So I think this is going to go to decision, and I am picking Nico Price by decision.
Yes, wonderful. Chingasso. Thank you very much. Indeed, chingassos.
It's
going to
be a ching fest. That's your Spanglish word. That's where, you know, you mix them.
Okay, ching fest.
We got to be careful with
a
that.
A ching fest, ooh. Yeah. A ching
yeah,
fest.
Yeah, well, only a Spanish person can say that because I'm not saying it. I'm not repeating it. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, just a quick poll. How many people know a lot of people who spell Jeff that way?
I do.
Yeah? G-E-O-F-F. You know a Jeff like that?
Yeah. I actually know a guy named Stefan that knows a girl named Megan that knows a guy with name Jose that has a friend named Jeff with a G.
All right.
Common.
So let's just go ahead. Yes, Jeff with a G is common, but not the way that this is spelled on my particular. Maybe the Jeff is spelled different on the UFC fight card. I don't know. Anyway, let's move right along, ladies and gentlemen, because this is not working. All right, so guys,
I was going to say, move along, nothing to see here.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and throw it to a little MMA rewind. Marco.
Oh, man, do we have to?
Rewind.
All right. Thank you, Marco, for giving us that soundbite again. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what I have to do to give wins to these people on this show this year, but it seems like nobody wants a win. Marco's taking the underdog in the co-main event. Seems like he doesn't want to win. I gave Tony a win last week.
Chuck away.
All right. So let's be honest. Marco got that the decision by Edwards completely correct. Bombed. Everybody bombed on the Olenek fight except for who's your boy? That's right. Proteus. Got that one correct. Didn't get the round correct. That's right. Didn't get the round correct, but did get that Harris pick in. Sorry.
Shut up.
Also got that spotlight fight of the night correct. So let's go ahead and call me the champion again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and throw to the main event, Marco.
I want to recount.
Yeah, no, you got 3 points. I got 4. I apologize. You got that Hernandez fight right. You got that Hernandez fight right, Marco. The only problem with the Hernandez fight is that you didn't get decision on that one. Because you would have got an extra point for that, and you would have tied. But unfortunately, your spotlight fight tonight didn't come through for you. So I apologize.
Okay. I
am the winner. I am the big wiener yet again.
You are the wiener.
Let's start with you.
Hoo-ah.
I am the wiener. Let's start with you, Marco, because I don't know how impressive this was. I mean, Edwards is getting those wins, right? He's really getting a lot of wins in this division, but Marco is falling asleep while he's talking about it. So let's throw to you, Marco. We cannot put Edwards against Jorge Masvidal at this particular point, right? All of that in one question. Go, Marco.
If we were talking about meritocracy and the winning streak that Edwards is on, we should be talking about title fight or number one contender. But no, that's not the world we live on, you know? I mean, the guy is technically flawless. He put a clinic against RDA. RDA didn't know one minute of the fight. Not 1 minute of the fight. He completely freaking, he didn't dismantle RDA, but he outclassed him. And I was super surprised. I mean, this guy, ever since he lost to Kamaru Usman, he's in an 8-5 winning streak. 8 fights, man. And how in the welterweight freaking division. You know how difficult that shit is? Look, I'm not talking about the Masvidal fight because, you know, that fight is in the back pocket. They can do that fight at any time. They can roll the freaking food and stuff of the fight. And, I mean, he did the right scene.
Three piece
and a
soda? Is that what you're talking about?
He did the good scene on the post-fight speech calling Masvidal out. I commend him for that. But Masvidal right now is on a little bit of a different promotional level. They're going to give him a money fight, you know, like either title or number one contender against, you know, somebody that probably got more visibility. However, a fight that I will not be upset about is Leon Edwards and Santiago Ponzinibbio. Ponzinibbio is sneaking around with a 7-5 winning streak right behind Leon Edwards.
Ponzi scheme,
with an 8-5 winning streak. That would be a very interesting fight to headline a fight night, you know. And then we're talking. We're cooking with Crisco. Good for Leon Edwards. I'm rooting for the guy. I hope that Masvidal fight eventually happen. You know, he's not on the run for number one contender or title fight, but he's on the conversation. He he basically fought himself into the conversation. RDA is the gatekeeper of the top five. If you beat RDA, you belong on that top four, three, two, one conversation for the title. You are a contender. And Leon Edwards is legit contender right now. There is no argument about it. The guy is really, really, really freaking good. What he's missing is that finishing power. They're finishing people. But we cannot sleep on this guy anymore. The guy is really, really good. And whether you like it or not, we're going to... A good thing for him would be a fight in Birmingham, you know, and build a whole card around him. But like I said,
yeah.
Right now, the one fight that makes sense for him, is Santiago Montenegro, and the rest will fall in place when he falls in place.
All right, Pammy, so you, like me, were on the RDA train, and maybe, as Marco alluded to, you know, we kind of saw the larger guy beat up the smaller guy. You know, we know Rafael dos Santos, like Marco was saying, as the gatekeeper for, you know, the 155-pound division. You know, what did I say?
Dos Santos.
Oh, I apologize. Dos Anjos. My apologies. I that was a Freudian slip. I apologize. I'm looking at this beautiful mustache. That's what I'm looking at, Marco, and I'm getting distracted.
I know that
distracting.
It's mesmerizing, isn't it? It's mesmerizing.
It is. It's a thing of beauty. I'm going to be honest with you. I was looking at it. I'm reading his name. Looking at his mustache. Got distracted. I apologize. Anyways, RDA. You know, gets dominated in this
fight. You're a great manager,
by...
but dummy.
Yeah. Tony always finds the appropriate drops when he's making fun of me. That's okay. No worries. Leon Edwards, I think Pam may have been, you know, the kind of the bigger guy and just got, you know, was able to impose his game. What do you got going on here, Pam? What did you think about the co-main event of UFC on ESPN 4?
Well, it's so funny because I caught just the last, and it's so funny because I told Paul, I said, watch. I said, he's going to call out Masvidal. And sure as anything,
no,
that's exactly what he did. I don't know. I don't know if he is that good or if RDA was just having a bad day, you know. But does he deserve Masvidal? No. And it's funny that Marco should say about Ponzinibbio, because I sound so bougie when I'm saying this. When I was talking to him in Vegas, I was asking him, you know, when are you coming back? And he said that he would like to try to come back by November. Keep in mind that when we were talking, I guess he was coming off of surgery because he, like some kind of knee surgery, because he was...
The Ponzi scheme, yeah.
And then in his arm, he still had an IV, like a catheter, still attached to his arm that was covered up by a bandage. So I don't know if that happens, how soon that will happen, even if he will come back in November, you know, because he looked like he was still healing up. But he said he wanted to get in by the end of the year. So we'll see. Maybe that will be a something to look forward to.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to belittle the future fight promotion of the company. But DJ Tony, I don't think that, as I said on previous shows, I think that Jorge Masvidal put Leon Edwards on the map by calling, you know, giving him the three-piece and the soda. And then, of course, last week, you know, I referred to Leon Edwards as three-piece and a soda. Like, that's what people remember Leon Edwards for. They don't remember his fights because, you know, he goes five rounds with RDA. What did you got going on here in the main event of ESPN, UFC and ESPN 4, brother?
You know why they won't remember him? Because his mic skills suck. Boy, that guy is boring.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know how much of it goes to talented Leon Edwards, because he is, but how much of it goes to really declining Rafael dos Anjos,
sure.
Guys. I mean, you know, I said this before. He was 3-3, he was 3-3, I think. I mean, he's 1-3 now. 1-3 in his last four, guys. This isn't the same person that was defeating people and knocking people out. I mean, do you guys remember at one time he was like submitting people, then all of a sudden he turned into a striker when he was really buff, and then all of a sudden he's a decisionator? I think we know what's going on, guys.
Marco, you sound a little stressed.
It's the mustache,
you
man. Maybe you need to get rid of that mustache.
I was gonna say it was the mustache is, you know, getting in the way, but Marco,
no,
you seem upset.
Well, I'm the best.
I don't like it when people make allegations that or insinuations but without proof. You know, RDA has never,
sure,
ever tested for anything.
No, I agree.
155 to 170, and for a while there, he was stuck as a contender because he went on a 4-5 winning streak. And now then he loses to Kamaru Usman, the current champion, Kobe Covington, the number one contender, interim champion, and now he loses to Leon Edwards, that might be the next contender after that. But he beat Robbie Lawler, and he beat a whole bunch of other people that, you know, matter, and now we're tossing RDA to the sideline. I'm not comfortable with that assessment, dude. Because what if he comes out the next freaking fight and totally destroy the next guy? Then what is going to be,
sure,
the narrative? We have,
well,
to be consistent here.
To be fair, and you're right, Marco, these are allegations that are not, that don't have a back, literally, no
they
foundation
no
to
these.
But to
they
be fair,
no memory.
Lance Armstrong never tested positive. Barry Bonds,
sure,
never tested positive. I mean,
yep,
we can go on and on and on and on, guys. So you're,
yeah,
right. These allegations
the
are
forget,
just.
They're different within Lance Armstrong and Barry Bonds is where people are accusing them at all times of they doing something.
Right.
Ain't anybody that has ever pointed a finger at RDA.
Yeah, no, I don't want to continue this conversation because you guys are both right. I mean, there's no reason to continue it against RDA. He may be declining DJ Tony as age does do to people, and he may be, as I said originally at the beginning of this, he may be fighting, you know, bigger guys that he just can't handle. Or like Pam said, he might have just had a bad day, Marco, right? So if he shows up next time, we love RDA. We want to love him. So if he shows up next time and he gets a good win, we'll put him right back in. Go ahead, Marco.
Or he might just be fading a better fighter. I mean,
sure,
you're taking all the credit away from Leon Edwards and what he did on Saturday.
I'm not at all. I thought Edwards put on a very technical fight. That's exactly what happened. And maybe that's the kind of knock against the British fighter, Marco. You know, they're very technical, and besides Michael Bisping and maybe Dan Hardy, and maybe nobody has the mic skills, like DJ Tony said. Go ahead.
But that'll still be for a second after you start getting knocked out.
Right, man. You know what? I love that we're talking about this so much. I love that we're talking about this so much, though, guys, because Leon Edwards does deserve to get the shine, and maybe not everybody's taking that into account. Let's go ahead and move on to the co-main event of USC on ESPN4, guys, because we are swiftly running out of time, and I would like to get everybody's guilty pleasures in this week. Alexei Oleinik, Marco, goes ahead and gets knocked out really quickly. 11 seconds, I believe, is what we're calling it?
12.
Okay, well, the UFC site has 11 seconds, so I'm going with the UFC site saying 11 seconds. Looking impressive, Marco. Walt Harris, quickly, let's comment on this fight. We get everybody's lightning round comments on Walt Harris's impressive win, in my opinion.
So, 12 seconds according to the commission, so that's what I'm going with.
You got it.
The one that matters.
Only one that counts.
I told you that Will Harris got a puncher chance, and he surprised the shit out of me. He did exactly what he needed to. The guy is super athletic, super fast.
Yeah.
He didn't demonstrate to me that he's the better fighter. He demonstrated to me that he's the better, harder puncher.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
And,
let me ask you a quick question. Did Greg Hardy do that as well for you?
The same deal. He hasn't demonstrated to me that he's the better
exactly
fighter.
Exactly. Okay, go ahead.
He just got...
Maybe,
you know,
a little less of the same deal, but I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get you. Go ahead.
They're terrific athletes, you know? I mean, Will Harris used to be a Division I basketball player, you know? He's a physical specimen. Bigger and better fights are coming up for him. The guy got the kind of speed, and he gave me some organ. You know, I like the big ticket. His record is not too impressive yet, but he's building on it. So let's see what happens. Alexei Oleinik is getting a little older on the tooth, but he's still going to get you, whenever his leg heals, because he's his gate got broken on all seven. You see how he fell? Super awkward?
Yeah.
Well, he fractured his leg. So he's going to be out on the mat for a while. So, Alexei,
that's not the first time we've seen that, has it? Right?
Yeah,
that's not the
sure.
first time we've seen somebody break their leg because they fell down fucking weird.
Yeah. As Cain Velasquez, Amilcar Crocco. But
yeah, exactly.
Only if he's going to come back and, you know, give you a good chance of a good fight.
I mean,
he's getting a little long on the tooth, so let's see what Will Harris can do.
All right, Pammy, lightning round, go
yep.
ahead. What you got, comments right here.
That one, I totally missed that one, so I can't really comment on that one. I totally
you,
missed
yeah, I'm
that.
I'm sure you saw the highlight, though, right? You saw what Walt Harris was able to do. I mean, it was very impressive. Did you catch at least the gif of it? No?
I didn't know. Truthfully, I did not. It was like such
no,
a
that's
crazy.
Fine. That's all right. You said you were dancing. We'll move on to Tony. Tony, lightning round. Walt Harris looked great, in my opinion, against Olenek. But of course, we know how much of a bias you have against Olenek. So go ahead and give us your thoughts.
Tony doesn't like him.
It was sad. I'm not gonna lie. It was sad seeing my boy, the Boa Constrictor, go down. I'll tell you. You know who else wishes they were dancing on Saturday? Alexei Olenek instead of unfortunately breaking his leg.
All right.
Listen, Marco said this, you said this. I don't know how much of this is either an indictment on Olenek or the fact that, because we didn't see much of Walt Harris, right? So I don't know. I wish, obviously, Walt Harris luck. I hope he continues to grow his career. Unfortunately, I'm not sure we're going to see Olenek much longer in the UFC.
Hey, to be fair, Olenek and Harris trained together, so I think Harris got a pretty good idea what to expect, how to read Olenek's movement.
Sure.
I think that played in favor of Harris. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I think, that, again, the next generation of fighter is rising up as we speak. We have seen more first-round KOs, Marco, in the past 3 or 4 weeks than we've seen in a really long time. So I think that people are starting to figure out fighters, and they're starting to be a little bit more cerebral, if you will. But let's move on, guys, because I want to get in our guilty pleasures, and then I want Marco to go ahead and get us out of here for this week. Great show, guys. I mean, we've been talking for 54 minutes, and I don't think there was any pauses except for the uncomfortable ones in the beginning. Don't worry about it. That was my fault. So, Pammy.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and throw to you. If you've got a guilty
my
pleasure of the week or
guilty...
if you've got a Twitter follow, why don't you go ahead and give it to us, Pammy?
Well, my guilty pleasure, so I'm getting over that stupid, and it was a guilty pleasure. Now I think I'm just watching it just to get it over with, was that Handmaid's Tale? Oh, brother.
Yeah.
It was, it started
going
off good
the
and then it just got a little bit, of it, not even a little bit, a lot of it, just getting kind of ridiculous. I'm like, okay, we're done. But I was just trying to watch it just so I could finish it and be done with it, But that's my excitement.
You seem really excited about it. We're talking about guilty pleasures, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to do this again just because I have to. Sounds good.
Yeah,
thanks, so Pammy.
I know, right?
thanks.
Man,
all right,
I
DJ
follow
Tony.
Through.
Let's you definitely down with the homies. Let's go ahead. Excuse me. Let's go ahead and throw to you, DJ Tony. You have a guilty pleasure, or do you have a Twitter follow of the week that you'd like to give to us?
You know what? I'm such a jackass that I normally goof around, but this time I'm going to be actually serious. Unfortunately, I saw this gentleman have his last boxing match of his life, unfortunately.
I literally
saw the whole thing. So Maxim Dadashev, listen, my heart goes out to he and his family. He passed away, obviously, due to complications.
Yeah.
I believe it was brain hemorrhaging, if I'm not mistaken. But listen, this is a sport that can combat sports in general, but certainly MMA and boxing. We just don't need to see people passing. So I don't know if there's a way to stop it unless they want to stop. But listen, heart prayers, everything goes to the Dadashev family.
Yeah, and
isn't that
again,
sad?
I I saw this story come out, and I saw the report of, you know, his corner stopped it and everything, and it still wasn't, you know, enough. Again, guys, these people are putting their lives on the line every time they go into boxing ring or if they go into the octagon. It just seems like there's a lot more danger in boxing because of all the blows to the head, but we don't need to get into that right now because, of course, we want to give respect where respect is due. Not to transition out of that and go into something happy, but my my Twitter follow is going to be I totally forgot DJ Tony because that was kind of heavy. Brian Forrester is my Twitter follow of the week. He also has a YouTube page. Maybe that's where I would like to send you guys to the most. I've been really big into ancient civilizations lately, and Brian Forrester is kind of on the ground in Peru, and he takes people around on tours, of megalithic sites that may have been taken over by, more younger cultures. It's very, very interesting. Check out his YouTube page. He's taking you in different places, like in Egypt, the places that people don't go, and you can see things that people don't usually see. So that's my guilty pleasure of the week. Marco, let's throw to you. Give us your guilty pleasure of the week, or if you just want to get us out of here because you got something else to do, what you got, brother? Get us out of here.
For a second, I thought you were talking about Giorgio Tsoukalos and Ancient Aliens, but oh well.
Well, I might have had some brain damage as well, brother.
My guilty pleasure this week has been binging on Arrow Season 7 on Netflix because I just like silly, stupid shows like that.
What is it?
Yeah, give us the name again one more time. Arrow?
Yeah, like the Green Arrow. The Green Arrow, the comic book.
Oh, okay,
Green
I got
Arrow.
You.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay. Follow Tony, I am DJ Tony. Follow Pandora Box. Follow Producer Apparatus. Follow me and Maldo Marco for the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review as Knuckleheads. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio. Fight this weekend. Early prelims on ESPN Plus and Fight Pass. Then prelims are on proper ESPN at the pay-per-view on ESPN Plus and any other dark sites that you guys don't want to pay for can find the freaking pay-per-view on. I'll lead you guys. Catch you guys next week. Enjoy the fight.
All right, Pammy, and of course, we'll look forward to your guy next time we see the UFC August 3rd, Covington versus Lawler. Big fight. So, Pammy, go ahead and get us out of here.
I should have him call in, right?
You should. We'll see you guys next week. And just like that, Pammy,
we are out of here. Have a good week.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.